is right, and you'll do that, America, if you come home in admitted poverty. You won't have a dilapidated Harlem in any city. You will not have a West Side and a South Side of slums in Chicago in any city, because you'll be at home. And home will get things right for you. And everybody will begin to love everybody and live as one big happy family. Jesus is saying to America, come home. After King's sermon, Amy Jo Levine, a New Testament scholar and practicing Jew, has given Christians a glimpse of how Jesus' parables may have sounded to those first century tax collectors and Pharisees and small-scale farmers in a largely agrarian, definitely Jewish society occupied by Rome. By drawing on Jewish history, Hebrew scripture, rabbinic literature, and a deep knowledge of the Bible's original languages, Levine corrects some traditional Christian interpretations of the prodigal son, interpretations that are not only harmful to Judaism, but also simply untrue and based in bigotry. Levine says, when it comes to parables and to ancient texts in general, our listening skills are not as developed as they should be. Not only do we frequently miss the original provocation, and not only do we frequently default to simplistic interpretations, we also often import ahistorical and anachronistic readings that deform the good news of the gospel into something Jesus would neither recognize nor condone. If the interpreter knows nothing about Jesus' Jewish context, other than the stereotype of Jesus came to fix Judaism, so therefore Judaism, whatever it was, must have been bad, and the parables will be interpreted in a deformed way. Levine goes on to say that even from the start of the parable, Christian commentators have gotten the wrong idea. She says, to ask, as the younger son does, for his share of an inheritance indicates a potential lack of wisdom, but it was not a sin. It was not particularly unusual then, nor is it even now. Yet, numerous commentators, academic and homiletic, insist that by asking his father for his inheritance, the younger son has sinned. He is in violation of the commandment, honor your father and mother. He has treated his father as if he were as good as dead, is the common interpretation. But as Jewish legal scholar Bernard Jackson Trentley observes, Jewish sources give no support to the idea that the prodigal, in seeking the advance, wishes his father dead. Now, what I've not told you until now is that Amy Jo Levine, besides being a brilliant New Testament scholar and recent teacher of our adult education second hour via DVD, is also one of the authors of the children's book I read at the beginning of the sermon. In the end, she says, the main message of the parables of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and the lost son are about counting, noticing, and searching for that which was missing, and becoming whole once more. This is our inheritance, according to Levine. A God who counts us, seeks us, and longs to scoop up the brokenness and the lostness of our lives and restore us wholeness. We have listened to Jesus, to Chrysostom and Augustine, to Calvin and King, to Barbara Brown Taylor and Amy Jo Levine. So now I wonder, what wisdom does this beloved, well-worn parable impart to us as a church here in 2019 in Chestnut Hill, Pennsylvania? Word of the Lord does it whisper to us as we near a time of transition surrounding Cindy's retirement and the call of a new head of staff minister. To be fair, I warned you that this parable might yet again become a live rabbit and take us where we do not want to go. But hear me out. As we draw nearer in the coming months to the inevitable change that is coming, some of us want, metaphorically, or maybe not so metaphorically, to run, like the younger son, to bury our heads in the sand. We do not of us are taking the elder son route. And to the plow we are serving on the pastor nominating committee, God bless you. Or arranging the flowers, or rehearsing beautiful music, or tending to the finances, planning church life events, or leading mission trips, or teaching church school, or serving our poorest neighbors in Philadelphia and beyond. But sadly, neither will keeping our heads down and doing the work protect us from the hurt. The price of deep love, eventually and always, is deep sadness when our relationships grow or change. I cannot tell you how many times I've heard people make prescriptive comments about who they hope our next head of staff pastor will be. In the same way,